We have finally made it to 1 Peter. We were talking about his life and wanted to start 1 Peter, and the Lord and the Spirit in me just said, which Peter are you going to talk about? You know, because I like to think I'm not the same person that I was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And if people lock me into that time, then that's how you know me. But I think Peter has a lot to say to us. You know, maybe you hold a grudge against me. And the problem with that is you'll never receive the word properly as we give it out, because you remember me like that. And thank God he's merciful and kind to us. And his mercy comes upon us and it brings change in our life. And for the better. More love, more faith, more kindness, more patience. We don't see that aspect until 2 Peter. You know, if we get there, whatever. But 1 Peter, let's look at that. Here's a man who has now gone in 30 years, 35 years in ministry. I'm feeding back just a little bit, brother. 30 years in ministry. And he's way down the road now. Persecution. They started out with this joy. They were meeting at the temple constantly. And they were giving out the words of life, as it says in the books of Acts. Angelic protection was upon them, caused them to escape out of the prison. Go and teach the people all the words of life. They were teaching about the kingdom of God, everything that they spent time with Jesus. That's what they were teaching. And the content of 1 Peter isn't changed in that thought pattern. How do we grow up? How do we understand that there's a natural world? There's a world of flesh, and there is a spiritual world, the one that we belong to. We're citizens of that world, you know. But somehow this carnality that we have, if we don't put it off, we'll keep living in that world. And so let's look at 1 Peter. And, you know, there was hope for him. There's hope for us. And he emphasizes it. What are the things that we emphasize in our life? What you'll find me doing, and I'll warn you because I'm conscious of this. The phrases in here are so powerful. He puts a couple words together. There's a comma, but I have to interrupt because there's so much content. If I start at the beginning and go to the period, there's too much to preach about. So you'll find me interrupting because for impact, for the idea of that's how powerful these words are to us. That's how much they'll change our life. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen. Let me pause there for a moment. You remember that there was a scattering. These people and these cities that are listed are really in an order, as though he was a man who was traveling and remembering these churches and these gatherings and where these places were. He was carrying them in his heart. This is just what you're... I'm not really assuming that. It's just as you grow as a man of God, as a woman of God, you remember things. You remember times. You remember where you were at. You know, he'll even say something in here that gives... These are little clues to what's going on. He's, you know, like, remember all those that have taught you. He knows about the teachers who were traveling in the area. Maybe he was friends with them. That doesn't mean that he was the one that established these churches. It also means that. But he was one of the apostles. And so they would send for him, as we looked in Acts. When they heard that the word of God went to Samaria, you know, they sent him down there that they might receive the Holy Ghost. He was traveling. He was with Jesus. According to you are chosen. That's a doctrine. Peter's laying down the doctrine of a chosen people. And you're one of them. According to the foreknowledge of God. I told you that we would revisit that word. When he stood up to preach, in the very beginning, he talked about the foreknowledge of God. There was a plan from the beginning, God's plan to redeem mankind, to redeem me. It was by foreknowledge of God. It wasn't like an accident or God was making this up as he goes. He knew the details of what he was going to do. The foreknowledge of God, the Father. He's the Father. According to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, setting apart, the making holy. He emphasized these things in his book, in this epistle that he's writing to the churches to encourage them. Reminding us of this also, as Pastor Bill was going through the book of Hebrews. It was to encourage the people who were backslidden. There's a backslidden state here, late in this 60 AD, 65 AD, around the time Hebrews was written. There was a heavier persecution. We're within 4 or 5 years of Rome being burnt and the Christians being blamed for it. There's going to be heavy persecution at this time. Things are coming against the church. But you have the power to stand. The Holy Spirit is within you. You have a purpose in life. What is going on around here in America, around the world? But God has a plan. I want to be on that track and not be swayed to and fro by the political circumstances in our life. Fix our mind on the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be added. He was teaching about the kingdom of God. Foreknowledge of God, sanctified work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. Another emphasis in his life. The covenant, the sprinkling of the blood. May grace and peace, this is another thing that drove the Apostle Peter in his life. Grace, the grace of God. He'll talk about it consistently throughout his epistle. Grace to you. Peace to you. And look what it says. Be yours in the fullest measure. I don't want part of that. I want the fullest measure that could be stirred up on the inside of me. The fullest measure, not just a little bit of it. The whole of the Holy Spirit, not just a little bit of it. Be baptized. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Keeping yourself full. There's another little thing I really feel in reading between the lines. I really do. I'll just be straight with you. I think he read every one of Paul's letters. I think he was a friend of Paul. I don't think that they were chiding against each other. I think the Apostle Peter understood that Paul had the visitation from Jesus. And he was teaching the kingdom of God everywhere he went. And there was a respect. You know, if you're good at something, a mason, a carpenter, and you work with a chair maker, you work with another man, he might do it a little differently than you. But you learn to respect his skill and his talent. You know, there's a level of respect that you get when you're good at something. And then when you're not good at something, you can tell. Pastor Bill told that story, and I probably have seen this myself. I just can't think of a better story. You know, when here comes this guy, and he's got a tool bag, and he breaks it up, but just by the way he lifts it in his hand, you can tell he doesn't know anything about laying bricks. You know, just the fact that they are crystal clear and clean, that he just went down to Walmart and bought them. You know, the Apostle Paul would know, the Apostle Peter would know if another man is not really, truly an apostle. You get a sense in your spirit, you know, and sometimes you sense that about brothers and sisters. There's things that they don't know and understand. You don't reject them. You're not upset with them. But you have to, where are we going together? You know, you have to figure out where you're going to go together. I'm still dealing with my rope here. I've got to get a clip or something. Pastor Bill has this figured out already. I tried to do this, you see, and it pops off. So let's keep moving here. Grace be multiplied to you in the fullest measure. Let's have the full measure of what God has for our lives. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercies, has caused us to be born again to a living hope. These are emphases of his life. It's a living hope. It's not a dead hope. And he's going to tell you why it's a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is what the rub was in the book of Acts. You're going to put that guy's blood on our head? Yep. You knew who he was. You knew it. And you sent him to Pilate. You cheered from the crowd to crucify him. They were all there. They knew what was going on. But there was a living hope that was coming, a resurrection that was coming. That's what we hope in. That's what sustains us. There's resurrection. Things go sideways in our life as we're moving along. Something happens, it goes sideways. But there's hope because the Spirit of God comes upon us. And the Word of God comes alive on the inside of us. And it begins to feed. The hope begins to multiply. And faith comes. And things begin to become dim. The things that are trying to overcome us become dim. And the light of the hope begins to become bright in our life. It's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. There's another word he uses that's alive in the Apostle Peter. There's things that are perishable and there's things that are imperishable. Don't lay up for yourself silver and gold. Things that are perishable. The man at the beautiful gate. Silver and gold, I don't have any of that. But such as I have, I give to you. Rise up and walk. Hope. That man was hoping all the time that he could be able to walk one day. From his mother's womb, he was lame. Peter gave him hope. In what? Jesus. Jesus Christ was his hope. And he leaped. He leaped up. Hallelujah. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. We talked about the glory of God. Things of old fade away. But these new things, they get brighter. They won't fade away. Reserved in heaven for you. You know, that's a tricky word, reserved. It could imply different things to you. My check that I get from working goes to a reserve. There's an account. Okay. That doesn't mean I can't touch it. The joy that you build up in your life every day, it's reserved for you. It's in a heavenly place. Nobody can steal it. You just give it away or decide you don't want to tap into it. We just don't tap into it. It's a reserve. The joy that God puts on the inside of our hearts, it's held in reserve. There could be a day come to you when you need to tap into it. How about when the apostles were beaten and they walked out of there with joy, dancing for the opportunity to suffer for Christ? Joy that was reserved for them. They tapped into it. When my bills come due, it's time to tap into that. It's time to tap into that reserve, write a check out, or, you know, what we do today, we just transfer the money. Say, you take it out of here. But I love this system better than sitting there and writing checks out, finding, it's like, oh, no stamps, got to go to the post office. Oh, they used to frustrate me. Anyway, reserved in heaven. Oh, look at this. That's why I keep interrupting here. Who are protected by the power of God? You're protected. You better wear a mask. I'm protected. I don't have a problem with the vaccine. Okay. I'm not teaching against that. I'm not persecuting that. I'm saying it's a good thing. I had polio. I had diphtheria. I had smallpox. I had a lot of vaccines. That was before I knew and understood that I was protected. Now I understand I'm protected. When we went to Nigeria, we had to get, we had to go all the way to Hershey, Pennsylvania. You know, had to get a host, internal medicine up there. Drop your pants, you know, okay. Bam, they hit you with the needle. You had to get things, cholera. You know, I had to get those things to go to a foreign country. If that's what it takes to travel, if that's what it takes to minister, I'm thinking about it. But I know I'm protected. And that's what I trust in. The protection of what God has given me through faith. Do I have any faith in that? I'm protected through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. These apostles, just like our day, our hope is him returning. We know he's going to return. And to them, it looked very much, the signs of the times, like he was going to return. He would write things like this. But revealed. What about the things that aren't revealed in our life today? We're struggling through things, you know, whatever. Things need to be revealed. We don't know what's going on. Faith rises in our heart to believe God for answers. That we are protected, that we have a hope. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. I'm not sure the trials that we're going through today in our time have been as necessary as what people might think. I think if you exaggerate things, you can almost control the public. And that's been one of my pet peeves with things that are you trying to really control my life, especially since I live in America. And it's not the way we roll in America. We count as precious freedoms to do things. We do have to address certain things that may come in the public. And I had researched some things about in the 20s, earlier in the last century. There was such an influx, an incredible influx of people coming from all over the world to come to America. Come to America. Just go to America. Your life will be so good. It's not the same attitude as what we have at the Mexican border. It's not that way. It was a yearning, and the stories that they heard, even in the pilgrim days, the stories that they heard was you get off the boat and there's gold just laying in the sand when you come. They needed to get people to come so that they could start plantations. They could begin to harvest resources. Wood. They needed wood in England. They just about burned the place down. They had no building materials. All these kinds of things were being pulled from America, another place of resource. It's just how society grows. So they would entice you. How about the gold rush? You remember, there's gold in them there hills. The gold rush right here in our area, you know, down at the Susquehanna River, they were lining up. The covered wagons were lining up in Chester County, which later became a piece of Lancaster County. Lancaster County was formed out of that. They were lining up for the barge to come across. And later on, when they built the covered bridge, they were moving wagons. They needed something faster. They built a bridge right here, you know, down at Wrightsville. And these are just some thoughts I had recently. I researched some local history. And Pastor Bill had talked about some of the local history, John Wright and such. But these kinds of things, if necessary, you know, they'll plant a hope in you. There's gold. Move west, son. Move west. The expansion of America. That's how it started. It started with this promise. Some made it rich. A very few. Many died on the journeys. Attacks. Persecutions. This is how they grew. Trials, tribulations that they faced. But America became what it was. trials and tribulations, verse 7, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested with fire, may be found in a result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We might think that means the sweet by and by and someday. But let's face it, today I need more of Jesus. And when I see more of Jesus in my trial and in my challenge, that is a revelation of Christ I get, a revelation of his word I get. I grow up. This is a man 30 to 35 years after these beginning parts of the book of Acts who has stood through trial, who has stood through tribulation, has stood through troubles, beatings, threats, lost friends. They were killed for the same thing he's doing, preaching the word of life. Killed. Am I going to die? Should I quit? Maybe I should go back to fishing. No, he didn't give up. And he's standing now, strong, as an older man. Not long from now, he'll be crucified. Not long from this book. Probably within a couple of years, if even that long. So, he's writing out his not memoirs, but encouragement to the church so that they can stand. He can almost say like Jesus did, follow me as I followed Christ. He could almost stand up and say that. This is how I conquered. This is how I overcame. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you have not seen him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. When trials come and they weigh against your soul and they send your brain, you're not going to live. You're not going to live. You're not going to live. See what I put on you? This is the devil's words in your head. This is your imaginations going wild. I'll stand. I'm protected by the power of God. I will live and not die. I will fulfill everything that the Lord has commanded in my life. That's what I'm going to do. Build your hope with joy inexpressible. Oh, these trials are tough. I get that. I go through them. Probably will have more as I move on in life. You know, the way it is. This is the life that we face. But for the glory set before us, for the joy set before us, we'll receive from the Spirit of God, and we won't be the same man we were just a minute ago. We'll be stronger, stronger than before. As to this salvation, this strength that's going to come, this joy that's coming, as to this, the prophets who prophesied, see, we saw this in the book of Acts. This is something that was dear in his heart. The prophets who prophesied, remember, he couldn't serve the other apostles. They said, the burden of this administration of having all these thousands come to the Lord on a daily or weekly basis, we need to choose seven men among us to be able to do this because we need to apply ourselves to the word of God in prayer. This is what they had to do. Administration and logistics had to change because something new was being formed. The temple of God, the church of the living God. You know, this was the early days. This is later now. He gave himself to the word of God. That is salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. And hopefully we'll get that far where we can actually see some. Seeking to know. The prophet is yearning on the inside, was seeking to know the person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted. As the Spirit predicted, as the prophets were speaking out of inspiration, the inspiration that these men were drawing from to reveal who Christ was, okay? And the glories to follow. There's things, eye has not seen and the ear has not heard. All the things that God has for us. it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which have now been announced to you through those who, it doesn't say through me that preached to you, but to those who preached to you the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. The Spirit of God was stirring up in the prophets, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, Andrew, all these men of God, James, studied the Word of God that they might lay hold and get a glimpse of what the Spirit of God was doing. Well, we need to continue to do that. If that's what they did to live, if that's what they did to be encouraged, if that's what they did to see more of Jesus, we have to continue in that same vein. Therefore, we talked about that word, prepare your minds for action. Or sometimes, you know, you go to work and something hits you sideways. It's like, oh, I wasn't mentally prepared for that. Prepare your mind for action. Gird up your mind for action. Be sober. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Same thought. I need more of you every day. I need more of you, Jesus, every day. The situations that lie before me, I have no idea what's going to happen at 3 o'clock today, at 5 o'clock today. My heart is fixed on Jesus. You might get an opportunity to witness. So everything that's been stirring up on the inside of you, it's not just for you. It's for those who are going to hear you. You know, this is how we have to think about how we're growing. It's not just for me. The prophets of old, as he just said in here, they weren't doing it for their selves. They were doing it for me, for those who were to come, for those who were to hear the word. This is what they were doing. So I wondered sometimes why I studied so much, you know, in my young Christian life, continuing to study, saying, waiting on God. Of course, he had to lead me into a place where I needed to understand how to serve. It's not just about studying the Word of God. It's about serving in the church. It's about fitting in, being a piece of the work, you know. And then you witness, you get to share with people. I can't tell you how many times I've sat here, just like you're sitting here today, and you hear the Word of God coming from the pastoral ministry or the special guest teacher. I'm not exalting Pastor Bill. I'm just making a point. You're sitting here in obedience in the timing of God for your life. You sit here, you hear the word of God, and then you go to work and somebody has the same problem that was just preached that morning and you have the answer. I can't even tell you how many times that's happened to me. And I end up re-preaching the same message that was taught to me that morning. And it's a wonderful thing because sometimes you see it in their eyes. You see them light up. And they're encouraged. They're different. All of a sudden, they're different. And it might happen with your family members and such. They become different because you share the word with them. A word of encouragement. And this is a good time. This time that we live is to encourage and to be encouraged. Because there's so much things going sideways. Verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. And you know, that word is an interesting word, ignorance. You're ignorant. You know, we use that in a weird kind of way, but it's a specific meaning. Simply, you don't know. But we don't use it that way. You're ignorant. You know, you're rude. You're crass. You're you know, obnoxiously bold. That's, you know, you're ignorant. You're an ignorant person. No, see, you didn't know. You didn't know the words of life. You didn't hear about the kingdom of God. So you were ignorant about that thing. Lust that we have, I didn't know that was not right. To chase after those kinds of things, you didn't know. You know, something bothers you about it, but yet you just jump into it. you know. But the Spirit of God can enlighten us that those things were, because of your ignorance, you didn't know, but now you know the truth. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in all your behavior. Well, that's a life study. That's certainly something that we need to be pursuing in all of our behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You'll see this is another value thing in the heart of the Apostle Peter. The holiness of God. He'll tell us later, but I'll tell you now. He was the one that was on the mountain. Pastor Bill was just preaching about this. The holiness of God was there. The glory. Jesus was consumed with the glory of God. And they woke up, opened their eyes. It's like, what? The glory of God was all over him. Holiness of God. And he opened up his mouth. He shouldn't have did that. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Listen to him. So honestly, he was just ignorant. He didn't understand the time, the moment. Sometimes we have a moment. Go ahead, take a pause in that moment, because maybe there's instruction there. Maybe there's a rebuke there. Maybe there's an encouragement there in those moments of time that you have with Jesus. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, yeah, God still judges in this moment because he cares about you. Remember, we talked about in Hebrews how it's going to get real now. You know, after the faith chapter, it's going to get real. And there's some rebuke and some correction, some training coming that we shouldn't live that way, that we should grow up into the aspects of Christ. And we're all doing that. We're all growing, you know, to the measure of you accept your responsibility that the way you acted or what you said or what you did wasn't right. And the Holy Spirit will arrest us in these things. God continues to judge. He's judging today. In the fear, live your time in fear during this time you stay on the earth. Verse 18, knowing that you're not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers. This is what I got for you. You're going to be a drunk. You're going to be a drug addict the rest of your life. This is what's inherited from our forefathers. Now, maybe your father was a good dad. My father did the best he could. I don't trash on my father. I loved my father. He did the best he could. My father was somewhat swayed towards the area of alcohol. So, therefore, when I talk about those kinds of things, I see what destruction it wrought in my own family. And so I caution more along that line to say that, well, I feel like in my judgment of my own family, I feel like alcoholism killed my grandfather. I feel like it killed my grandmother. And I feel like it ruined my father's life. He was more or less a working person who, when he got off of work, he stopped at a club, that kind of thing. So he was doing the best he could. And I think there was many things in his life that he never talked about. I mean, I think I'm more open to share things with my kids about my life. You know, I don't keep them secret because I'm not really afraid of that. I repented of things. You know what I mean? But sometimes people can learn. You know, so there's a lot of questions I had in my mind as I got older about what my parents were like when they were young. So I probably still have a lot of those kind of questions. But then you fix yourself and pursue a path. And then a value system begins to be formed in you. And when it's not right, it affects everything you do as you move forward.
Yes.
So this value system of the kingdom of God that comes into our life, the teachings of Jesus that begin to come into our life, When we yield to them, it begins to move us forward. And it changes you. And your life begins to go on an uphill path instead of a downhill path. And you don't do everything right. You probably won't do everything right. But you can always repent when you learn, because you're ignorant. But then you learn. And then you yield, and then you move forward. You're redeemed not with perishable things like silver and gold. It's a futile. Live your life, get up and go to work, 9 to 5. You know, have a card game now and then, shoot some darts, whatever people do, go to the golf course, you know, consume yourself with hunting and fishing. That was my early life, consume myself with hunting and fishing. And then the conviction just began to come on me about who Jesus was. And, you know, you need to be going to church Sunday instead of being out fishing in the boat. Well, it's just some things about me. And so you can't escape it. That's what I love about the Holy Spirit. You know, I might not be able to convince you, but you can't get away from the Holy Spirit. You know, it doesn't matter how good that preacher is. You cannot get away from the Holy Spirit. Cannot. Because he loves you. And you're going to change. You're going to change. It was a futile lifestyle. Inherited. Oh, this is my inheritance. Oh, wow. Nope. Not going to drink. I guarantee you the rest of my life. I'm guaranteeing you. But it's my conviction. But with precious blood. This was a deep conviction in Peter's heart. You were redeemed with precious blood as the lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times, for the sake of you. You did that for me, Lord. I'm injecting things here. I'm reading the word as though he's speaking to me. Because guess what? He is. And he's speaking to you. Redeemed by precious blood. I'm redeemed by precious blood. I'm protected by the power of God. It means something to you. Thank you for that, Lord. Who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. That's where my faith and hope is. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. These are things the Apostle Peter was continuing to encourage the church in. What about the love of God? What about the love of the brethren? Do you love the brethren? Or is it waxing cold in your life? I think, again, Peter was a big fan of the writings of the Apostle Paul. And you'll see that all through his writing. That the love of many will grow cold in these last days. He was encouraging them to love the brethren. Fervently love one another from the heart. If we reflect back to the book of Acts, that was the joy that they had in the city. They were pursuing the apostles' teaching. They were fervently loving one another, giving to one another. They didn't count anything as their own. Whatever I have, if you need it, you can have it. Because that's what they were fixing their hope on. It was the joy set before them that they were willing to give those things up. You have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living, enduring word of God. That seed is continually coming into my heart as I'm feeding on the enduring word of God, coming to us, causing growth, causing increase. And then we get opportunity where we come together and we can fervently love one another. And it's not just here that we do that. But, you know, you have relationships outside of this building. Fervently love one another. Encourage one another. Look at this. He's drawing, again, inspiration from the Old Testament. And I see myself at this point in my timetable here. I'm not going to be able to go to the book of Isaiah. But nevertheless, let's look at this. Because this chapter 40 in Isaiah, wow, how powerful it is. Drawing inspiration. He says, all flesh is like grass. I'm wondering, where did he get this inspiration? It sends you there to chapter 40 of Isaiah. And there's so much in that chapter that lead to this inspiration. All flesh is like grass. All its glory like the flower of grass. People think they're significant. Government thinks they're significant. Presidents think they're significant. You know, no. Like grass, the grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which we preach to you, which was preached to you. The word of God that had, as the scattering happened, as the men of God began to move out of Jerusalem into the surrounding areas and go up here into this area, which was Babylon. It was the area where these cities were, where the Exodus happened, you know, and they called back to rebuild the temple. This is the areas where Jewish people were settling, Hebrews were settling, and they were scattered all over the place. The word of the Lord was being sent out to them. This word of encouragement, this word of salvation, this word of Jesus and his crucifixion and his resurrection. These were the things that they were doing. They were spreading all out and they were going from city to city. As we see, we continue on with the book of Acts in chapter 13 as it moves forward. Paul was doing it. He wasn't the only one. All the other ones were doing it as well. The apostles stayed there in Jerusalem for a little bit, but it was time to get out of town. It was time to move. If they could catch them all in one place, they ended up killing James. You know, and my supposition in that was Peter didn't even know it. He had a miraculous, the chains fell off of him. You know, the angel of the Lord came and get up quick. Let's go, let's go. Two soldiers there. They didn't wake up. Deep sleep had fallen. This is the way the Lord works because you see it in other instances. Deep sleep had fallen on them by the Spirit of God. And he got up and left. He went to city. He said, go tell James. I'm out. I'm leaving. He started traveling. He didn't know James was dead. It's just a timetable thing. So he found out his dear friend, his fishing buddy. It was his fishing buddy. They were in business together. James, John's brother. John, James were together. Andrew, Peter were together. Andrew was Peter's brother. So we're going to see here that we get great encouragement from the word of God, from a man of God who is, to this point in time, sending a letter out to the churches to encourage them, to keep the faith, to realize the things going on around them, the trials and tribulations, are going to apply your faith to them. You're going to rise up. You're going to overcome. In all our situations, I'm going to rise up and overcome. Peter told me that. I'm protected by the power of God.